I'm Lauren.
And I'm Ashley. And this, guys, is Nip Tuck Pod.
We are your girl chat. We say the things you want to hear, the things that you're thinking but you don't want to say out loud. And we're all about being strong, aspirational women who basically don't give a...
Lauren, anyway, if you want unfiltered chat, amazing beauty and product recommendations, then look no further, guys. This is the podcast where you will get all of the girly chat.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm in a room and there's like 3,000 people. I'll go to the one with the broken wing, the broken leg, the one that's the most fucked up, traumatized bastard in the room. But that's what I'm drawn to. Either that or the dog. If there's a dog there, I'm either, you know, I've got trauma, dog, trauma, dog.
Because they're the it's like Sophie's Choice. It's a tough one.
That's it.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Vicky Patterson, The Secret 2. This week, I am joined by DJ to the Stars, undisputed meme lord of Instagram, and now author. It's DJ Fattoni, everybody!
Woo! Oh, thank you. I love the author bit.
Yeah, did you like that bit?
Still sounds weird trying to get my head around it, but yeah, it's good.
Is it your biggest, like, achievement to date, Hon?
Yeah. It's, you know what it is? It's my most honest achievement.
I like that.
And yeah, because it's the first time in my life that I've been completely honest about everything.
And you feel a bit vulnerable. Yeah. I says, do you feel a bit vulnerable?
Really vulnerable. Really like sleepless nights over it. Because writing it took 2.5 years, but it's like, you know, so I kept going back over things and thinking, do I need to put that in? Do I really need to put that in? And I do need to put all of it in. Because I'm not writing another one. Do you know what I mean? I'm not. And, it, you know, it's yeah, there's stuff in there that my mum doesn't know. There's stuff in there that my worst enemies don't know. And it's all in there.
But I think that really, I can really relate to that. Like, I brought a book out at the start of the year, and even though the subject matter is really different, Tony, like, the essence is the same. Like, I bared things about myself that nobody had ever known, like, I'd never spoke out loud before. And it's really scary, isn't it?
It really is. It's like having the biggest shit in your boyfriend's house the first night you go on a date with him. You know, it's that feeling of like, oh, my God, he's going to see it. He's going to smell it. He's going to know that I'm a pig. You know, all of that stuff goes on in there. You know, I'm like, it's, yeah, I just, you know, I'm really honest. I'm really open about addiction. I'm really open about so many things. But when I went back and looked at stuff that I really thought I'd dealt with, I hadn't touched the sides.
Nah.
And the process of writing it and then having to stop because it brought up so much emotion. And there's one chapter which was about abuse, where I was abused as a kid for like 4 years. It went on for to discuss that stuff in depth. I went in deep with it, and I got food poisoning halfway through it, right in that chapter. And it wasn't food poisoning at all. I was physically ill for 4 days. And then when I did the audio and I did that chapter, I had to stop. I was like, I can't do this. I can't reread it. You're going to have to get someone else to do it. And I literally was had to like be like, no, you need to do this, Tony, come on. Yeah. And they left it all in the audio. They've left it in because I just think that it just showed that I really thought that I'd dealt with it. I mean, how could a 14-year-old kid deal with anything? Do you know what I mean? In our minds, we think because, you know, we shrug it off. But, you know, I'm a plower. I plow through everything and it builds up at the sides and then falls in, you know.
Like, I don't just think that's something that's specific to you. You definitely shouldn't give yourself a hard time about it. I think that's human beings in general, mate. Like, I know, again, when I was writing mine, I thought there'd been stuff in my life that I'd processed and dealt with. And I thought, oh, is this really evolved, like very like emotionally mature person? And I fucking hadn't. I'd compartmentalized it. I'd packed it away neatly in a tight little box and shoved it deep down in my body. Yep, so I was able to go on because I knew dealing with those things were going to be painful.
Yeah.
Doesn't surprise us that you had that visceral reaction to something as harrowing as that.
It knocked me for six on so many levels, and there were so many other parts to it that going in depth and digging up, you know, like the whole AIDS epidemic and you know, I'd never really spoken about being HIV positive before because I never really had to, because it was something that I overcome and is no longer an issue in my life because I take one tablet a day. I can't infect anyone. It's no longer a problem for me. But to discuss that stuff and go back and look at the process of how I didn't nearly die, I died, you know, at one point. I was in the hospital on a life support machine, and all of the stuff that went along with it that I just shrugged off because I kind of put other things above it, you know what I mean? And to go back and look at that stuff and talk about that stuff and look at how it made, not only it affected me, but it affected my entire world around me, i.e. my family, my loved ones. You know, it was it's painful stuff, but it's also really, really beautiful at the same time because, you know, you can discuss it and you can bring it up. And since I've done those chapters, those harrowing chapters, because I've got loads of friends that are reading it and they're like, oh, my God, it's so funny. I'm loving it. And I'm like, what chapter are you on?
Yeah, fucking just hang on a second.
And they're all at the beginning. And I'm like, okay, read a few more chapters, then call me. And then they don't call. They don't call me. And it's like, because they're in it. And then about a month later or 3 weeks later, they call me and they're like, oh, my God, I've just finished it. Congratulations, blah, blah, blah. But it goes, because it's my story and it's reality, it goes from so much fun and laughter to really dark places really quick. And, you know, and there's no way of, you know, one review just came back of it and she said that the beauty of the book is that it's, I'm the only one that comes out of it. I don't try to paint myself in a good picture. I'm unvarnished. And there's a real beauty to it, the fact that I don't try to big myself up and there's no smugness about anything I've done. Do you know what I mean? And I just think that that's where the vulnerability lies, because I'm really good at laughing at everything. Do you know what I mean? I will laugh at something rather than deal with it. I'll make fun of it.
It's your defence mechanism.
Yeah, it takes the power out of it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like literally, you know, I will laugh at the worst situations in my life because that way I can deal with it. And I think if you learn to laugh at things, it, you know, you're kind of, you're halfway there really, aren't you?
Yeah. I mean, you've got to learn to find like the humor in certain like situations, because life does, it ebbs and flows. And I know everyone can relate to that. Maybe it's not the extreme ebbs and flows that you've like gone through. But no, I think it is going to be such a powerful read. I haven't read it yet. I'm fucking dying to get my teeth into it.
They're not sending you it.
No, I've just got it today, so don't worry, I'll be reading it. I'll be leaving a review, Tone, but like, I'm not sure you're going to be arsed about mine based on the couple I've read. You've got fucking David and Victoria Beckham here, Tracy Emin, Mark Jacobs. Like, who hasn't read the cunt?
Well, you know what it is? You know, it's like, they, you know, Mark, for instance, is like an old friend, and he's been through similar struggles. And, you know, I want you to a real cross-section of people to read it. You know what? They're not the only people that read it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, those names are on there because of who they are and it sells books.
Yeah, you know, of course, babe.
It's not about my celebrity friends and this and that. It's nothing to do with that. But, you know, I got those people just to review it because I kind of felt they've been through similar stories. Well, a lot of them, apart from Victoria and David and people like that. I just, you know, it was... I wanted families, I wanted parents, I wanted straight people, I wanted gay people, I wanted every type of person to read that story and relate to it, because it relates to everyone. Do you know what I mean? And yeah, there's fucking, I mean, there's Tracy Emin. Tracy literally messaged me and said, can I get a copy of your book? And this is when we had the proofs, and I was like, yeah, I'd love you to read it. And she did what, like everyone else does, oh my God, it's really dark, blah, blah, blah. And came back to me, and you know, Since I've read that book, me and her have become really, really good friends. And it's just, there's something really magical about trauma. It really draws people together. Because that That bitch has been through hell and back. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. She survived cancer. She, you know, people see people as a name, or, you know, oh my God, they're doing really well. They have everything. They have, they're successful. You know, they don't really know what goes on in anyone's lives.
Nah, and behind closed doors.
They don't. And you know, people are really good to judge at what they read in papers or what they see, or, oh, she's this or that, or that person's that. And you know what? 99% of the time, they're not what we think they are. And Tracy Emin's one of those people, and she's a beautiful, magical woman. And I asked her if I could put a quote on the front of the book because it just meant so much. Do you know what I mean?
Because I suppose, like, you've said you recognise a sense of yourself in her. You know, you've she's been through similar things. And I always say that about people, like, don't get us wrong. It's, if you can go through life without any hardships, like, good for you. Yeah. But I always think, like, who do I want to be sat next to at a party? Who do I want to sit next to at the dinner table?
Right.
Someone who's had a life. It's someone who's known struggle, known hardship, and come through the other side. So I can understand why getting an approval from someone like Tracy is huge.
I mean, if I'm in a room and there's like 3,000 people, I'll go to the one with the broken wing, the broken leg, the one that's the most fucked up, traumatized bastard in the room. Because that's what I'm drawn to. Either that or the dog. There's a dog there. I'm either, you know, I've got trauma, dog, trauma, dog. Because they're the,
it's like Sophie's Choice. It's a tough one.
That's it. It don't get no different.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally, for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like, a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term medical plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You know, and it's just, you know, I think that the most interesting people on the planet are people that have lived. And I don't mean people that have traveled the world and gone, you know, blah, blah, blah. I mean people that have really lived and that have felt that pain or that have survived. You know, the book itself is dedicated to my dog that passed away, which is unconditional love, man. And, you know, she never judged me. And she only died like a couple of weeks ago, and I'd already dedicated the book to her.
I'm so sorry, Tony.
No, you know, she was with me for 16 and a half years, a year before. And she has been through every part of my journey of recovery, and she never judged me once. She'd give me the odd dodgy look every now and then. You know, she was always there, and she felt every emotion. And I dedicated the book to unconditional love and to all the mothers of the world and to anyone in recovery of any way, shape, form. It's not just recovery from alcohol and drug addiction. It's recovery from real trauma, recovery from the loss of a son, the loss of a daughter, the loss of a loved one, you know, like cancer, anyone. Because recovery is a magical thing. It's just getting the strength to actually think, okay, I'm really going to try and beat this. Is a remarkable thing. They're the heroes, man.
So your book, first of all, I Don't Take Requests, is out now for people to get, for anyone wanting, and it's available all, you know, the usual bookstores, Amazon, everything, yeah?
Yeah, it's everywhere. Waterstones, all of the usuals.
All the big ones. Go on, son, swing your dick about.
I've got book signings at all the Waterstones all over the country. And it's like, I'm like, I still live in this world where I think, why would anyone want to come and see me sign a book?
Are you feeling a bit nervous about it?
Yeah, of course. I've been wanting to buy loads of tickets myself to give to people so that they sell out. But, you know, they're doing really well. And I was like, you know, yesterday I was at the publisher and I was like, signing books. And I had to sign 1,200 books yesterday. And I was thinking, and I said, are these all just going to go on sale? And they were like, no, these have all been pre-ordered. And I was like, 1,200 signed pre-orders is pretty good going. Do you get what I mean? Not to count the other pre-orders. And it's just, I have to pinch myself. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's like, it's such a lovely moment for you. And also, like, I think you need to have some more faith in yourself, mate. Like, just reading the preamble, the blurb, I was like, fucking hell, like, I really want to read this book. It's going to help so many people as well.
It really is. You know, I gave it to my mum today. My mum, I held it up from giving it to her.
Is she your harshest critic, like?
Oh, no, you know what it is? I'm a mummy's boy, and she, you know, my mum is, you know, a magical person that I've never had to justify myself to ever. And I gave it to her because there was a part of me, there's three people in my life that really mean major stuff to me. The one's my sponsor in my 12-step program. That has helped me and guided me and mentored me, that helped save my life. The other person was my old sponsor from when I first came in, who is one of my best friends, and my mum. I just didn't want to give it to them because, you know what, I really wanted them to love it. And I was so scared that
pressure.
And also I didn't want to give them a proof copy. I want them to have the hardback with the photos, the dedications, the thank yous. I wanted them to
finish the article.
Yeah, I don't want people to have anything half-hearted. And so I held off from them. They all got paranoid, thinking it was all about them. Like, oh, my God. And I said to my mum, "Mum, you're the only one that comes out bad in this. Seriously, I made you out to be a right bitch. You know that." Yeah. I did a morning. I was doing a photo shoot for The Guardian. And they do this flashback thing in the garden room, and they've chosen a picture from my book of me and my mum, which you had to recreate. And I'm a baby. I'm 6 months old in the picture. They're such cunts, right? My mum's got beehives, and I'm sitting on my mum's lap, and I've got this face like this. They made me a fucking full-on, like, gown. My mum is sitting in a beehive, and I had to sit all morning. I've been sitting with her doing this. They go, "Can you look a bit more like?" And I'm like,
"A cog,
the fucking guardian, man." I was laughing all morning. And my friend came around, and she's like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm dressed as a baby." And it's like, I wrote a book on my boyfriend. He went, "What the fuck are you doing?" I was like, "I'm gonna wear it home later." But she's like, "Dressed as a fucking baby."
Just your normal Thursday morning, son.
You know what I mean? So, too funny. It's all very surreal, and it's all very magical, and I love it.
Good. Well, I wish the absolute best of luck. And like, I'm proper buzzing. You did the audio record yourself, because I did mine, and like, he honestly, I've again struggled the same as you. Found certain sections like super cathartic and loved it, and God, I'm so pleased I did this. And then others, I just had to sit and have a sob because I thought, like, it's tough stuff, you know. And I remember the fella, like the sound technician or whatever, in the next room, he just every so often would be like, "Do you want some tissues?"
I had the same thing. He'd go, "Okay, do you want to stop for 10 minutes? And I'd be like, "Yeah, fine." I tried not to put cunt in every other word, but it's in there a lot. Oh, and then, you know, when I was talking about people, I was like, "Actually, hang on a minute, I fucking hate this cunt. Why am I even talking in my book?" And all of that stuff. So that's all in there. They've left it all in because it's just, he played it back to me. He was like, "Do you want?" I think it's genius. I'll just leave it in. It is what it is, man. Do you know what I mean? It's fucking hard to read your own book. I'm dyslexic and ADHD. So me to sit in a studio longer than 10 minutes without wanting to know what's in the drawers in the next room is really fucking hard. Oh. And then to read off an iPad is even more hard because I'm reading 5 sentences ahead. Yeah. I'm like, you know, I forget. And it just, it was chaos. But you know what? I'd never do it again. And I literally, the amount of people that said to me, "Oh, you're going to regret doing that." And the amount of, you know, I was like, "Nah, it's going to be great. It's going to be really fun." Fucking hell. A whole week of just sitting there going, and then crying and leaving and just like doing tantrums because I didn't want to,
It is a hard process, but honestly, everyone who's listen to mine has said, "I'm so pleased you did it yourself because you get something extra when you hear your words in your voice."
Yeah.
And like, I'm so with you, mate. Like, keep in the cunts. Like,
oh, totally.
Keep in the bits that make it you. You know what's important?
We took 47 cunts out of the book. But, I was like, that don't need to be in there. And for me to take the word cunt out, I mean, I have it around my fucking neck. Do you know what I mean? For me to take it out of the book constantly, because I was like, do I swear that much? And they were like, yeah. I was like, take it out, take it out. I mean, I just been in Miami and I'm doing a wedding, and Gordon Ramsay was there, and Gordon was like, you're the only person I've ever said this to that swears more than me. And I was like, oh, right. Okay. Yeah, but yours is false. Mine's real. Do you know what I mean? It's like, yeah,
fuck off, Gordon, you cunt.
Yeah. And you, Tanya, while you're at it. No, it was, we took a lot of cunts out. They didn't need to be in there.
I just, before we started, when you were getting your sound all set up, Elif, my producer, she went, he might actually be the first person ever on this podcast who says cunt before you do. And I went, I'm still going to give him a run for his money.
We could have a cunt off.
Oh, mate. Well, I'm buzzing. I cannot wait to read it, and I wish you the best of luck with it.
Thank you so much.
I want to go right back to it. Yeah. I want to, like, go all the way back to the start and find out how you got it. Oh, before, I was about to start about how you got into DJing, but we finished part one. Shall we do it in part two?
Yeah, let's do it in part two.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.